Welcome to the Scott Townsend Show, brought to you by Dietzel Man Productions.
They'll just take it, and they'll just, they're motivated personally to do a good job, and they'll just, you know, keep doing it. So I get that. I get, you know, not volunteering for many things, because a lot of times they're just too busy to do that. You know, they don't want to unnecessarily, you know, complicate their lives. They're already, you know, in a state of overload.
Right.
But not speaking up in meetings is a different thing. You know, they're there to participate. They're there to make a contribution in a meeting. And they're being paid to sit in that meeting. So if you're there and you're really that good, then, you know, as a leader, I want your input because I want everybody else to be as good as you are. So your opinion matters.
So there was this article in Inc. magazine that came across LinkedIn. It was by Jeff Hayden. And the title is, Why is Your Most Valuable Employee Often the Most Invisible Employee? And so it goes, I'm just going to read this. It won't take very long and just get your thoughts on it. As far as I know, Bob never came up with innovative ideas or suggested initiatives. He never volunteered to work in other departments or take on informal leadership roles. He never spoke, much less spoke up in meetings. Bob flew as under the radar as was possible to fly. Bob worked for Randy, and whenever I happened to be in Randy's office discussing operational issues, he never asked Randy a question. He never sought Randy's advice. He never complained or vented or tooted his own horn. Bob just passed on information he knew Randy needed. How a customer issue was, a delicate ship date issue would be resolved, how he would overcome an interdepartmental kerfuffle. One day after Bob headed back to his cubicle, I said, he doesn't say much, does he? Nope, said Randy, he's awesome. I wish I had 20 Bobs. That surprised me. Had I been asked to rank customer service reps in terms of their personality, I would have fallen somewhere. Bob would have fallen somewhere in the bottom half, mostly because he didn't stand out and was nearly invisible, but in the best way possible. According to no less an authority than Mark Cuban, the people who tend to work successfully for him all the time are smart, they're driven, they're learners, and they understand that the greatest value they offer is to reduce their boss's stress. As Cuban says, anybody who reduces my stress becomes invaluable to me. The people who tend to think that they're invaluable are typically the ones who create the most stress by creating firestorms and creating drama and making things more difficult for me. If you're a drama creator, you're not going to do well. If you are a stress reducer, you're going to do well. We all know drama creators, people who, no matter how talented, create headaches and never add value. Bob didn't just create zero headaches. He also eliminated potential headaches. He got in front of them before they became an issue. He smoothed customer feathers before they became ruffled. He did his job so well that Randy never had to think about him. Randy did think about him because he valued and appreciated him to such a high degree he didn't have to think about it, which in Cuban's terms made Bob invaluable. While you can't add reduce my stress as a formal category on your employee, you should consider that attribute when you evaluate your employees. Why? Any employee who scores high on your informal stress elimination scale and is a quiet performer, one who consistently does her job extremely well, who never seeks credit for going above and beyond, who is so good she's almost invisible, except now to you. Do you know? Have you ever known of an invisible employee? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I know invisible employees.
Good or bad?
I mean, not necessarily either. You know, I think, you know, part of the description there was people who never speak up in meetings. You know, I think you should be speaking up in meetings. I totally get, you know, not volunteering for, you know, this and that, because the people, if they're truly good at their job, then leadership tends to lean on them and they tend to overload them with responsibility. And they can do that over and over and over because that these people are silent. They'll just take it, and they're motivated personally to do a good job. and they'll just, you know, keep doing it. So I get that. I get, you know, not volunteering for many things because a lot of times they're just too busy to do that. You know, they don't want to unnecessarily, you know, complicate their lives. They're already, you know, in a state of overload.
Right.
But not speaking up in meetings is a different thing. You know, they're there to participate. They're there to make a contribution in a meeting. And they're being paid to sit in that meeting. So if you're there and you're really that good, then, you know, as a leader, I want your input because I want everybody else to be as good as you are. So your opinion matters.
Thank you for joining the Scott Townsend Show. We'll be back right after this.
Before we continue, the best way to support the Scott Townsend Show is by telling friends, family members, and becoming a patron at patreon.com/the Scott Townsend Show. So yeah, we have awesome perks, personalized videos, personalized episodes, all kinds of cool stuff at different tier levels. Patreon allows us to do the show full-time, part-time, anytime. So thank you so much for your support.
You know, the article almost seems like it's kind of tilted toward, you know, leadership who's just kind of looking for that employee that's just kind of the, they don't care about, you know, that person advancing their career or becoming a leader themselves. They want somebody who's kind of the cash cow worker, but they never have to think about them, never have to worry about them. They come in, do their job, go home, and that's the way the leader really wants it to be.
Right.
I think if leadership's doing their job, they find those people, they find those nuggets in their workforce, and they train them up to become, you know, great leaders who can teach their technical skill, their approach to customer service or whatever it is they do so well, so that they can multiply themselves throughout the workforce. That's what a smart leader would do. And so they would want that person to be vocal, and they would have a training program with that person to bring them up to a leadership capability so they could reproduce that person by making them a supervisor and training a bunch of other people, you know, how to also be great employees. They want to melt into the background as much as possible. They don't want to speak. They don't want to turn on their camera in a Zoom meeting. They want to be as invisible as possible because while they have some things that they do, you know, relatively well, basically they want to put in their time. They want to go on their long coffee breaks. They're kind of like retired on the job almost, you know, just people who are just kind of working the system a little bit. So that's why I say it's not necessary to me. It's not necessarily one or the other. That it really depends on what is the motivation for remaining silent. So yeah, that's what I would say.
I like the,
I do agree with them about the, people surrounding yourself with people who reduce your stress.
Yes.
Not creating drama, taking care of right. business without the yan going on.
Yeah. No, I agree with that too. It's not that I disagree with everything you said. Many things I don't agree with, but yeah, the premise that somebody who is invisible is probably your most valuable employee, I think is a little simplistic way of looking at it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's only a 2-minute article.
Yeah, it might not be. You know, it depends on the pathology. It depends on the reason why.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody is not cut out for leadership, doesn't mean they can't be trained for it. But some people just flat are not cut out for leadership. And that's good to know, too. So they just a cash cow kind of employee. You just put them in a thing where they're happy and they can just kick butt, take names. And, you know, that's what they want out of life. And they don't have a desire or great talent for leadership, and lots of people don't. So, yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
They just got, as long as you identify that.
Yeah. The worst thing is to have somebody who's really good at their job and therefore promote them to leadership. And it has their new job, a new leadership position has nothing to do with what they were so great at doing.
Yeah.
Because they're no longer a doer, they're a director. And if you can't direct, if you can't delegate, if you can't handle, you know, issues, and if that drains your emotional energy bank, then that's not the job for you, you know?
Do they call that the Peter principle? No, not
necessarily. That's 80-20, right?
It's kind of like where you promote someone out to the point where they're incapable of doing
the highest level. Let's see, the lowest level of their incompetency or something like that.
Yeah. They did a good job. They keep doing a good job. They get promoted. They do a good job. And then they finally get promoted to a point where they don't do a good job because they're not either trained or have the inclination or both.
Right.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I like, you know, I think we can all learn about, you know, we can all be, I don't want to say invisible, but we can all be stress reducers. But a lot of times people, you know, they'll hang out in the boss's office or they'll kind of be a bootlicker, apple polisher, trying to, I've known some people that create problems so that they look like they, you know, look at me, I'm the superhero. I swooped in and saved the day.
Right. You have some people who are, they never progress beyond junior high school. And if they have somebody better than that, they are, and they can't beat that person at their job, then they'll start tearing them down. And now you have somebody who is counterproductive and poison in your company.
Mm-hmm.
That's what GE did so well for so many years was, you know, identify people with leadership skills in their company and teaching them how to be great leaders. So if they could take, they could pluck them out of where they were and they could put them into another group that needs another great leader. And then that person goes over and trains up great leaders and great workers out of the workforce they have because they just became these little factories of leadership. And they're being promoted within GE. And then people are headhunting GE like crazy because they made such fantastic leaders. They actually taught them how to lead. They had actual leadership capability, talent.
I read this quote the other day that's kind of funny, but it's so true. This guy said, so what if we train all our people and they leave? And the boss said, what if we don't train them and they stay?
Right.
So yeah. I thought that was pretty quippy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think any last thoughts on that? Let's all be stress reducers, not stress inducers. You know, I worked with a guy one time that was very quiet in meetings, and he would say some things, but he was, you know, the quietest person in the room has, I don't know, to me, like the most power because they're listening and they're, you know, in their brain, they're assessing and they're juggling and they're taking everybody's input. And towards the end of the meeting, this person would always come up and say something, which was usually worth listening to. And I always thought this person was not the smartest person in the room, but the person that everyone looked to ultimately, because he didn't spend a lot of time talking. He spent more time listening and gaining the input from others and then throwing his two cents in after everyone had a chance to speak.
Yeah. Well, you know, the person who's really quiet, you know, it could be that they're just very selfish, you know, and they don't want other people to know what they know. They have a competitive advantage in the work group and they don't want to reveal that. So they're just going to quietly, you know, continue to do great stuff and let everybody else kind of suffer so they look better by comparison. Or it could be a reflection of a really bad leader who doesn't listen to his employees. And when they say things, they you know, they don't listen, they don't act on them. And so people begin to get so frustrated with the leadership that they would rather not say anything. Rather than say something and just be ignored yet again, they're just going to put up with whatever is going on. They're not going to try to contribute because they feel completely exasperated. So if you're one of those people who's a leader and you got somebody who's good, who's not speaking up in meetings, you know, it could be, you know, a reflection of your own leadership challenge.
Right.
You know, the challenge you're presenting to your own team to work well. So really, it could be a good thing. It could be a real opportunity to take somebody and give them some job training and teach them how to, you know, train others to be just as good as they are. And now you've got, you know, a factory of talent.
Mm-hmm.
But it may not be. You just got to assess, I guess.
What really irritates me is when people will dominate a meeting or hog the meeting and do all the talking and they really haven't said anything. And so then that's an example of, you know, it's not even worth saying anything because it's all about them. So, you know, the less I speak, the sooner I can get out of that meeting.
Right. Yep.
Which is kind of what your point was. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, good assessment. Good talk. That was, I thought the article, I mean, how would you rate that article on a scale of 1 to 5? I would probably give it a 3. There was some truth in there.
There was some truth, and there's also some thought-provoking things, and obviously the article can kick off some discussion and, kind of tease some different perspectives on, you know, the article. So it's valuable and for that, if for no other reason. So, yeah, I would say solid 3.
Yeah, solid 3. All right. Well, you guys talked to Ben in his car, and so that's why the audio might be a little iffy on this episode. But you guys have crossed the Red River and you're headed into Texas, right?
Right. Driving in Fort Worth right now.
Cool. Well, we'll get off the phone here. Once again, thanks to Ben Townsend, executive producer of The Scott Townsend Show. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. Have safe travels. Everything's going to be all right. And we'll talk to you later.
The Scott Townsend Show is a Dietzo Man production. For more episodes, visit the Scott Townsend Show YouTube channel, listen on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. The Scott Townsend Show.